Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, the 21st of March, 2022. And I do want to welcome you to spring now. Even though the weather up here in Michigan, yesterday it felt like spring. The other day it felt like spring. Today maybe a little bit more, less than yesterday, but not going to feel so much like spring the next little bit, even though better than like the 20s or 30s than a lot of winter gives you. But it'll feel, it'll be a little bit normal to a slightly below for this time of year. But at least it's not January no more, thankfully, because it's cold. But it's good to be with you. I hope you had a good St. Patrick's Day weekend. You know, whatever you did. I went to the big parade in Bay City, which was held for the first time in 3 years, because last year and the year before, they did not have it in Bay City either year due to that thing. That thing that I will not name, that certain thing that's been going on for way too long in the, you know, around the world. I do want to ask you to keep Ukraine in your prayers. That, of course, the Russian thing is still ongoing, and keep America in your prayers. Keep President Biden in your prayers. I'm not going to give that many opinions. I'm not really going to give opinions on my show as to whether or not he's doing a good job or a bad job with Putin and what have you. But
hi, Josh. Would you sleep in?
I will say I wish he had
someone to come and get you
some more backbone.
But Tori isn't at Shannon's house. She's everywhere to find a place to stay, and they're all booked, and she's got a couple waiting lists.
I will just say, listeners, I hope he has some backbone. And if you hear any phones or anything, I will tell you, please don't worry about it. Please do not worry about it. Because we're just doing the radio show. And so but that to say, keep it in your prayer. Well, what if Russia throws a big nuke at the United States and the nukes and what have? Hey, if you're saved, it'll happen so quick, and you'll be in heaven with Jesus. And if you're sad because I said you'll go to heaven, get happy. Because heaven's a great place. And if you're sitting in church, if when you sit in church, if you have a pastor like mine and he mentions, you know, that it's the last of the last days, hey, don't be sad about it, because it means he's coming. My pastor has kind of joked, kind of sort of about, you know, the about, you know, how there's this young person, there can be these young people who'd be like, well, pastor, the rapture comes like right away. I won't be able to drive and have my driver's license, and I really want to drive. Or other one was like, well, I really want to get married and get, and I really want to get engaged and get married. Yep. But then Dr. Buckley told him, he's like, you know, he's like, well, about that, he was like, well, oh, sorry, but about the whole scalp thing, he was, excuse me, but about all this stuff, he was like, well, don't worry, you know, in heaven, you won't be worried about earthly stuff in heaven. And that's the truth. You won't be. It's not just something I'm kind of more or less saying to kind of make you feel, you know, try to make you feel better or anything like that. No. Tell them it like it is. Amen. Amen. Because I know Jesus has this. As I like to say it, God's got this. Okay. If you've ever heard it this way, God's got this. Amen. So, another thing that's really been on my heart lately is this whole thing about the repairers of the breach, restorers of paths to dwell in. And if you have been, and if you've been not living right, or you've never given your life to Jesus, you can cross over the bridge from hell to heaven. I mean, meaning like as far as your destiny. But planks have been removed from the bridge due to faulty doctrine among pastors and such. Not mine. And if you go to a good, born-again, spirit-filled church, not yours. But I'm not going to teach it tonight, but sometime real soon, I'm going to teach on this thing again. I preached about it a couple of years ago, a couple of times, and I was listening to that sermon that Dr. Parsley preached. Series, actually, of it that he did in various places. Someone uploaded several sermons from back in the early 90s where he taught this repairs of the breach. And he had like this illustrated bridge thing with these planks. And and of course, people need help. People need answers. And there's been a breach, but people need to be able to cross the bridge the gospel bridge. The gospel is part of that bridge. You see? And he made a way for you and me. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead 3 days later. And I'm thinking maybe it's part of Easter time. Just before Easter week or something like that, I'll maybe after somewhere in there, I'll discuss this repairs of the breach thing, because you see, he made a way for us. And so powerful thing that he did that, and one thing to note is Dominion this year is back on after a 2-year hiatus, and so that's a great thing. Now, real quick, before we get into a couple songs and then the word of the Lord tonight, and then a March Madness update. Yes, we had some upsets, including some rather large upsets. And we'll be talking about a few of those. Very briefly, though. But before I do that, I want to remind you guys of two things really quick. Number one, I want to remind you of the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life. God, whom my mother could not see but strongly believed in. And it chronicles the different miracles in my life. It's a very good read. One thing you'll notice is that the chapters are called miracles instead of chapters, which is honestly a really cool thing. So, you can go online to the website riversofmiracles.com to find out info on the book. Again, that is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out how you can get the book in your hand. It's $15, and it's $15 well spent. Very well spent. And so the other thing I want to remind you of very quickly is our PayPal. If this show has been a blessing into your life, you can sow a seed and be a blessing back. Whatever seed you want to sow, I'm not one of these who sit on the pedestal and tell you how much you should give and all that kind of stuff. No, I want, if you're going to sow a seed, I want you to deal what you feel like you should in your heart. But don't tip me. Don't tip God. Don't just do this little tip thing. Give unto the Lord. What's this thing you say, Miracle Man, what's this thing you say about don't tip God? Here's what I mean. God's not a restaurant. And I've eaten at some really good ones. By good, listeners, I mean like I really enjoyed the food. Because ultimately, in my mind, you go there for the food. But don't do that to God. Don't cherry pick. But to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program, you can go online to paypal.com and in the search bar type in Rivers Shukla. That's my name, okay? So that's Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, and the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Okay? I want you to keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. So keep that in mind. Also, keep in mind that the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla are both capitalized. Amen. So, I want to sow a verse into your life. And it's where it says, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, he said. So there's a condition on that. And that condition is, how's your soul doing? How are you feeling in your soul? Are you holding grudges? Are you forgiving people? Or are you walking in unforgiveness? You see, if you want the blessings of God on your life, not only should you be giving your tithes and offerings, you also need to have a right heart, a right attitude toward people. You need to be forgiving people. As you sow your seed, I always pray that God would bless your seed. I always do. And so, I am going to sing a couple of songs, and then we're going to get into the word of the Lord. And it's going to be a good word of the Lord tonight. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. All of the time, all of the time. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. All of the time, all of the time. You lift me up when I'm sad. You make me feel so glad. You are the best friend I've ever had. All of the time, all of the time. You give me joy. You give me peace. You give me faith and meet my every need. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. All of the time, all of the time. You give me joy. You give me faith. And you give me peace. You give me faith. And you meet my every need. Yeah, you give me joy. You give me peace. You give me faith. You meet my every need. You are so good to me. You give me, you lift me up so high. You lift me up to the sky. You lift me up so high. All of the time, all of the time. You give me joy. You give me peace. You give me faith. And meet my every need. Yeah, you've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. Yes, Jesus, you've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. Yes, you've been so good to me. 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 All of the time, all of the time. You lift me up when I'm sad. You make me feel so glad. You are the best friend I ever had. All of the time, 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 all of the time. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If he's been good to you, thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus. The moon and stars, they wept. The spirit of the ground. Oh, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. Our broken. And the ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His earthly power cannot be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? I'd resurrect a king. Whether you a king has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified, forever he is lifted high, forever he is risen, he is alive, he is alive. journey on the cross for him. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The curse upon the ground was broken, and the ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. The earthly power cannot be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? I resurrect the King, has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. Yeah, we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Oh, yes. He's alive. Yes, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our voice and we offer up this praise unto your name. You're welcome into this place. Yes, welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people, and we lift our hands and we lift our voice and we offer up this praise unto your name. Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people, and we lift our hands and we lift our hearts and we lift our hands and we lift our hearts and we lift our hands. And we lift our hearts and we offer up this praise unto your name. Great, well, great. How great is your love. And great, great is your majesty. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our hearts and we lift our hands and we lift our hearts and we offer up this praise unto your name. There is none like you. And no one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find that there is none like you. Sing it again. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Oh, I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find that there is none like you. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you are to us, for who you are to us. You are the way maker. You are the ever-present help in every time of need. You are the soon-coming King. You are the God who frees, the God who delivers, the God who saves us. You're the God who saves, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you minister to each one of us, wherever we are, whether we're in our homes, whether we're at work, whether we're driving, whether we're whatever it is that we're doing. Thank you, Lord God, that you are just right there. You meet us right where we are. As we make a way to tune in to hear what you have to say to us through your word. And I thank you, Master, for this time in your word tonight. May it be rich. May you reveal things to us, Lord God. Line upon line, precept upon precept. There a little, here a little, there a little. Thank you that these listeners, that their minds would be alert, their hearts would be receptive, their ears would be ready to hear the real word of God and not be tickled necessarily. That their ears would not just simply be tickled. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you use me to deliver your word tonight. And I thank you, Master, that you are meeting every one of these needs represented by every listener on the show. And I just thank you, Master, that you know what they have need of when I don't. And I thank you that you will meet these needs represented tonight. And now I make my confession over this program, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. And most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name. Let's make our Bible confession, because the Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips. Let's do that. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the Word says I have. And I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It is more than a religious book to me. And it is more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Go with me, please, to John chapter 8. Praise God, John chapter 8. And we're going to see what the Lord has for us tonight. Praise God. John 8. And I will begin reading from verse 1. Now, I want to encourage you for the next little bit. Whatever I do, you do. Don't just sit at home and watch. Whatever I do, you do. Praise God. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 of John 8. And I read. And it says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple afterwards, in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees, the Pharisees, golly, didn't those Pharisees have anywhere else to go? And what about the Sadducees? Which really is sad, you see. Remember when Dr. Buckley would say that, Shelley, when he would say about the Sadducees, when he would say, it really is sad, you see. I think it's funny. It really is sad, you see. But the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman was caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis of accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down, and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from, and I know where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father." Jesus replied, "If you knew me, you would also know my Father." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his time had not yet come. Once more Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will not find me." "You will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am..." And it says in parentheses, "the one I claim to be. You believe that I am If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, no, like I said, the one I claim to be is parenthesized, then you will indeed die in your sin. Who are you? They asked. Just what I've been claiming all along, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be. Again, parentheses, the one I claim to be. And that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. And I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. Verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said this. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family. But a son belongs to it forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Oh, if you don't have that written down somewhere, or at least in your brain, this is something that every Christian should know. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. You don't have to stay bound to anything. You can be free. You can be delivered. Who the Son sets free, he is free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things that Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. But Jesus said to them, verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you
are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, then why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Verse 48. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory to glory myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my words, he will never see death. At this, the Jews exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, that he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim that whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me, though you do not know him. I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeking my day, and he saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. From the day Abraham was born, I am. At this, they pick up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. All right, folks. All right. So what you see here was Jesus spent much of this chapter claiming that he was who he said he was, which is true. He is who he says he is. He's part of the Godhead. But people were trying to stone him. People were trying to, they were not being nice to him. And those Jews, they were saying they were Abraham's descendants, but they were not taking on, the image of God in their lifestyle, in what they were saying to Jesus. It's like some Christians today. There'll be Christians today that'll be like, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I do what I'm supposed to. I go to church. But some of them cuss, drink, smoke. Some of them, live in all kinds of sin. But these people claimed that they were Abraham's descendants. But then Jesus was making it clear to them, if you were truly Abraham's descendants, you would love me. Because they were like, Abraham didn't try to hurt me. Abraham didn't lie about me. Nor would he be right now if he was on this planet. Abraham would not be lying about me. That's part of what Jesus was trying to say. Abraham would not be lying about me. But you are. And he even told him, you are of your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil. And they kind of went back and forth with that. And they went as far as calling Jesus demon-possessed. Well, listeners, if they truly were Abraham's descendants, they would not behave in such a way. But you see, there are people who maybe claim that they're saved. Maybe they didn't actually ask him into their heart. Maybe they asked him into their heart, but they've just totally walked away. And they're not living right at all, making all the wrong choices. Maybe they were truly Abraham's descendants, but they had totally gotten away. Totally been making all the wrong choices, instead including trying to hurt Jesus. And even going as far as to call him demon-possessed. And those Jews were not being nice to him at all. So, but first, there's this lady early on in the chapter who Pharisees brought up to him, and they basically say, all these people are like, well, Jesus, we caught this woman committing adultery. And they make her stand in front of him and what have you, and he's like, has anyone condemned you? And she's like, no, no one's condemned me. But you know, he talked to her about it, and he told her, you know, leave your life of sin. What he meant by that is you don't have to keep doing what you've been doing. You can be set free. You can become a former this, a former that, a former drinker, a former adulterer, a former you know, whatever it is you want to name. You can be free. You don't have to stay bound to sin. There's all kinds of churches that you can go to where they teach this seeker-sensitive lifestyle, and they say, well, you can drink a little bit if you want to, just don't get drunk. And please don't drink and drive. Or they'll be like, you can do this and this, but just don't take it too far. But Jesus said, the Bible says, you know, wine's a mocker. Wine is a mocker, which means that really we shouldn't be. But Jesus didn't die so you could go sin as much as you want, go do whatever it is that you want to do. No, Jesus died so you could be free from that stuff. Freedom from sin. He paid the price for your sin, not so you could keep doing it. So you could repent, turn away, and live for Jesus. Not so you could go out and keep living like a pig, and bound like a sheep, live like a pig, which you shouldn't be doing that. And he is spending a lot of time in this chapter, a lot of time, explaining things like about himself. Even mentioning those things that are so crystal clear. You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. And like those little things like that, which I remember back when I was little, like 4 or 5 years old, I would listen to that on cassette. And even at that point, that made sense to me. Like, he's from above. They're not. But about this thing where those Jews were calling Jesus demon-possessed. He wasn't demon-possessed. He was explaining himself. And his testimony was very much valid. Very much valid. As much as they try to invalidate things about it, it was so valid. If you've been living for the devil, running for the devil, you can get off that road and turn to Christ. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, stop running for the devil. Turn. Give your life to Jesus. And start living for him. And get on the road to heaven. Because time is short. And I want to see you make heaven. I don't want you to go to hell. I do not want you to go to hell. I want to see you make heaven. I do. But he And then he is just making it so clear to them about who he is. And of course, you have these Jews asking him all these questions like, who are you anyway? Like I said, they weren't being very nice to him. But some of the others who were there were believing in him. And they were choosing to, you know, like, yeah, I want to be a part of this. I want to be free. I want this. But then there was all these other people who did not want it, who were like, I don't want to be free. I don't want to be changed. I don't want to be. So they were like, I want to be, just stay where I am. But you shouldn't want to stay bound to anything. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants you free. He wants you at a higher place. And by higher, I don't mean on drugs either. No, 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 no. I mean, a higher place with God. And He is the I am. But you have, obviously you had some of those people there were just trying to ask him legitimate questions, like when he said, like, you know, asking like, Jesus, what do you mean when you say you're going to die, we'll die in our sins? And then at one point, the Bible, God makes clear that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What he's not saying is that we should just all, you know, stay a sinner, stay bound. Why even bother getting saved? Hey, if you die without asking Jesus Christ into your Lord, if you die without asking Jesus Christ into your heart, then that's hellfire for you forever. And I don't want you to go to hell. And you know what, folks? Jesus taught much more on hell than he did heaven. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. It was because he didn't want us to go there. He wants us to go to heaven and be with him. And so my question to you would be, why would you want to go to hell? Why would you want to go to hell and not heaven? Why? What is it that's so much more important to you than Jesus? Because guess what? Hell is just as long as heaven. Heaven is just as long as hell. It's eternal. It's for eternity. And by the way, this idea that all these people can be together in hell or what have you. No. In hell, it's solitary confinement, and you never die, and you're burning forever. But in heaven, you get to enjoy freedom. You get to enjoy being with the Lord in a way that we never get to be on earth. But so you just get to choose. It's up to you. I don't want to see you go to hell. I want to see you make heaven. I really do. I really care about your soul. But Jesus was just teaching them well. Some of those Jews, like I said, were, you know, giving them such a hard time, going, talking in circles with them. There were others obviously there who were listening to him and wanted to hear what he had to say, wanted to receive. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for this word. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us. That if we're in sin, that you would forgive us right now of whatever it is that we're doing that's not your will. These things that you call sin. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you will help us. Because, Lord God, we don't have to be in sin. We can be free. We can be delivered. We can have what you want us to have. And I thank you, Lord God, that for the people hearing my voice, that you would just heal them tonight. Free them of whatever it is, of any ought that they would have towards others, that you would just free them from that, forgive them for that right now, as they pray in their heart, asking you for their forgiveness. And I thank you, Lord God, that they would receive this word in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. And honestly, listeners, I truly pray that I helped you tonight. I pray I helped you. Amen. Now, in terms of sports, NCAA March Madness, the biggest upset of the entire weekend, of course, in the first round was 2-seed Kentucky fell to a 15-seed. That was the first time that a 2-seed fell to a 15-seed since 2015, I believe, when Michigan State fell to Middle Tennessee State, I believe that was. They fell to a 15-seed. But between then and now, you had that monumental 16-seed, University of Maryland, Baltimore, upsetting that number one seed, Virginia, by 20 points. So they not only upset them, they beat them by 20 points. 20 points. That was the key upset of the first round. Even though there were others, including my favorite, 11th seed Michigan beating 6th seed Colorado State. For round two, I would say the biggest upset of round two was Michigan beating Tennessee. Tennessee was a 3 seed. They won the SEC championship, and they were 3 seed. They ran into Michigan, and Michigan beat them, 69-63. Now Michigan will take on Villanova. That took down that team to the south. Michigan State fell to Duke. Duke was a 2 seed. At one point, Michigan State was up by 5 points. They could have beat Duke, but nope. Duke got them. And you had a number one seed lose. Baylor lost to North Carolina, an 8 seed. Which, yeah, you could say that was an upset. North Carolina has won championships before, including in 2009 when they beat Michigan State in Detroit at Ford Field in front of a very raucous Michigan State fan base. They were completely raucous. And you're saying, and you may think, well, Miracle Man, how do you know this? How do you know it was raucous, Miracle Man? I know this because I was listening to that game. That's how I know this. I know this because I was listening to that game back in 2009. For Michigan, though, in the Sweet 16, this, by the way, their fourth in a row. They barely made the tournament, folks, and now they're in the Sweet 16. Hopefully they can do another big upset and upset Villanova. Maybe they can. After they beat Tennessee, who knows what they can do now? But I think it would be so cool if they ended up winning the national championship game, or even if they made the Final Four. And I know that whole thing with Dwight Howard and what have you, and the suspension for what he did and that. Hey, but folks, that's old news. Let's focus on the now. Michigan is in the Sweet 16. That team to the south is not. Had Villanova lost, guess who it would have been? It would have been Michigan versus that team to the south. Well, Miracle Man, are you gonna say who it is, even though it's not football season? No, I'm not. Well, they call us that state up north all the time, or TTUN. I've seen it on social media. They'll do that hashtag TTUN. Trust me, I know. People down there in Columbus or elsewhere in that state will do that. But it was a pretty good weekend of March Madness. And there was some good madness. There really was. You had a 15 seed beat a number 2. You had a big upset 2 pulled by Michigan. That number 11 beating a number 3. That was big. And so that's what I have for sports. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.